How about that? One day without rain.
Amazing. The sun does stay out for one full day. It's great to be here tonight. It's great to have the capability and be able to come into God's house. The scripture I've been looking at tonight, the main scripture, is Book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 37. If you want to turn with your Bibles to Luke, chapter 1, 37. There are different scriptures I'm going to be touching base on tonight. I mean, these scriptures have so much more in them, but I just want to take a glimpse at these scriptures as we're going through the message tonight and pull out a little glimpse of what God has for us in these scriptures. But the main scripture is Luke chapter 1, verse 37. It's a relatively short scripture. It simply says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." But I say simply it says that, but that's a powerful, powerful statement. For with God. And as I was looking at the message, and actually this, normally God will give me the scripture, he gives me the title later. You know, I have to work for the title on the messages. Some people, I think they can just come up with a title and they say, okay, this is the message that's going to fold in behind it. But I start with he starts with a basic scripture and then tries to give me the ideas and stuff to filter into it. But Luke 1:37 says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And there's one word there that really stands out. And the word is the second one. It says "with." The message is probably mostly about that one word, which is "with." As Christians, we need to be aware and not complacent about God and what's going on around us in the world. We have to be careful we don't begin to get complacent, or we begin to take God for granted. We begin to take things for granted around us. We're not in, as you might say, the greenhouse of life. You know, sometimes things are really good for us and we're really doing good, great. Other times, not so good. And we don't live in a greenhouse type thing. Whenever things start getting a little too cool, somebody turns up the heat. And things start getting a little too hot, somebody will cool it down. And just sort of keep things regulated for us. In life, things get tough at times. Life is full of times when we feel alone and afraid. And then sometimes when we feel like we're overwhelmed and just can't go any further. Life is full of times like that. Though we can't always change the externals in our life, we can change the way we go through life. God can give us a way to go through life without all of so many of the ups and downs. He can give us the help that we need so that we can set a course that will help us get through life as we experience it. Yesterday I was reviewing the message, working on a sermon. I'm sitting on the swing in our backyard. And I'm starting to think of some of the tough times. That's the first thing that comes up, the rough times in our life. That's usually the first thing that stands out. And I'm sitting there thinking about some of the hard times I was going through, and I happened to look to my right, and no more than 3 feet away from me was this beautiful, I believe it's an azalea bush of elm planted. I mean, it is completely covered with flowers. Beautiful. And I said, you know, here I sit thinking about the bad things, and I miss the good things that were sitting right beside me. It's not hard to miss the good things that are there. It's not hard to miss. We have to be careful and make sure that as we go through life, to make sure we catch the good things as well as the bad. Over the book of Hebrews, it tells us, Jesus has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He's talking to his disciples, and he tells them, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." If we couple that with another scripture, which is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1, it says, be ye followers of God as dear children. Now, the one in Ephesians tells us, okay, now we know that we have God, that He's going to be with us. Now, Hebrews is telling us that we need to be close to Him and stick close to Him. Ephesians is telling us, be ye followers of God as dear children. What it's saying is we need to imitate or resemble God. We need to imitate or resemble Him. The question comes up, if we're going to imitate Jesus, who is He to people? Who is Jesus to us? Who is He to the people around us? You say, well, of course, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. But who is He really to God's people? Because even in the book of Chronicles, we go to the book of Chronicles where God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins and heal their land. And I think, why would God make a statement like that to His people? Why would He have to say, if you will turn from your wicked ways, then I'll heal your land? Why would He make this something? You know what? They must have been complacent just like we are. They must have been taking God for granted. They had to be in a place where they weren't being obedient and they were saying, oh, well, maybe I won't do this today. Maybe I'll just go to do something different instead of what God wants me to do. We need to be careful that we are going in His strength and not ours. In His strength, is God's strength? Is Jesus strength to people? Is He a friend that we talk to once in a while? Who is God to people and to us? Is He someone we're afraid of? I've met people that have been upset. I'm afraid of God. That wrath of God and the God, I'm afraid of Him. Who is He that we to us? I have some scriptures that I looked up whenever I was going through this. Genesis, chapter 18. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That was the Lord's response to Sarah when she laughed at having a child at old age. Jeremiah, his prayer was that there is nothing too hard for thee. Romans 4 talks about Abraham and how he never staggered at what God wanted him to do because by faith he knew that what God said He can do, He will do. Psalm 34 said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So where should Jesus be in our life? The question that we have tonight, where should Jesus be in our life? And that brings us to the sermon title. What's hanging in your closet? Better yet, what's hanging in my closet? This is my closet. This is nobody else's. This is just my section because I'm not allowed to talk about anybody else's closet in the house. This is not Ellen's closet. This is just my section. My closet. It's an interesting thing. It's full of stuff. I must have about 50 ties, and I think we went through and threw about 20 of them out. So there's about 50 ties hanging in my closet, and they have special hangers, you know, that you can hang them all on, so it makes it real efficient. I brought some other things along tonight. Here's the special hanger. Seems like there's a different hanger for everything that I have in my closet. This is for my suit jacket, so it keeps it hanging straight so it doesn't get deformed in any way. Here's a hanger I found. I have to take all these hangers back too. But here's hangers for special clothes. There's a lot of different kinds of hangers. We've got blue ones for little clips for holding things, putting things on. We've got the regular hanger. This is not felt coated. Different hangers for different garments. Now, there is one problem that my closet's having, and I hope your closet doesn't have the same problem. But to be really honest with you tonight, my closet, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. It shrinks my clothes. Now, I don't know if you have the same problem or not. My closet shrinks my clothes. It's terrible. I had a favorite shirt. It was something we got from U.S. Steel. It was a nice shirt that had writing on it. I thought, you know, I don't want this to get damaged anyway, so I'm going to hang it in the back of my closet. I'm going to save it. It must have been in there for about a year. When I finally pulled it out the end of winter, it wouldn't fit. It was tight. It was, my closet shrunk it. I don't know how I'm going to fix that problem, but I'll have to work on it. We put things in the closet to preserve them. We put things in our closet to save them. We put things in there because it will take care of them, and we know that it'll be there when we go back later. But there might be some things hanging in our spiritual closet that shouldn't be there. Many times I think people, maybe unwillingly, not knowing, not really thinking about what they're doing, will hang some things in their closet. And sometimes Jesus ends up in our closet. Sometimes Jesus ends up hanging in our closet in a favorite spot. And he shouldn't be in there. The reasons why we hang him in our closet, in our spiritual closets, vary. Sometimes we think, okay, we've accepted Jesus. Now, he's good for eternity. I'm set for eternity, and we'll hang him in our closet, thinking that everything will be fine, and when I finally depart from this earth, I'll be okay. Sometimes we put Jesus in there because it feels secure. Okay, we go all week long. I know Jesus is in there. I know he's in there for backup. I remember at the Gulf War, years back, whenever the Gulf War was going on, there were signs everywhere, pray for peace. And when the war was over, they disappeared. And I often wonder, what changed now that wasn't then? You know, whether we're trying to use God as convenience. Okay, we need him to come in and to help us with this problem. Jesus needs to be in our life. He needs to be working. He needs to be real evident in our life. We can't just leave him in the closet. We can't just hang him there on Sunday. Sunday morning, we get our suit jacket out of the closet, and we get him out and take him to church with us and go home and then hang him back up. That's not what Jesus is for. That's not the place he needs to have in our life. We need to put him in the center of our life. He needs to be in our everyday life. He needs to be in a position or in a place where we can feel his presence and that he can make us the person that we need to be. He needs to be in a situation or in a place that we can allow him to change us, so that we can be molded to be more like him. That's why when he left, he said, I'm leaving, but I'm going to leave you a comforter. I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit here with you, so you'll have a helper. That Holy Spirit makes us what we need to be. He helps us to conform and to be like Jesus. To people that I'm around and that I've been around over the years are looking for a difference in people. If they're going to go looking for a church, they're looking, okay, are the people different? Ask someone who is a non-church going person and they'll be able to tell you exactly how you should act. Ask a non-church going person and they will tell you exactly what you should be doing and how you should act. Doesn't mean they're going to do it. But they know, they're looking, they're watching. We need to, as is the scripture passage of Luke 1:37 says, we need to be with God. We need to be walking with God in the center of our life. We need to be walking with him. We need to allow him to be part of our life. We can't follow him if we don't pull him out, put him out front. If he isn't out front, then we're not following him. a few of the scriptures that I looked up. I was going through the different versions of the scriptures. And I thought, you know, this is kind of neat. So I pulled about six versions, six to be exact, yes, six different versions of the Bible, and I wrote down Luke 1:37. Here is what Luke 1:37 says in these different versions. For with God nothing shall be impossible. For with God nothing will be impossible. For with God nothing is ever impossible. There is nothing that God will not be able to do. For no promise of God can fail to be fulfilled. For God's promises can never fail. Everything that, all of these different versions, and everything is still true today. We know that Jesus is still making promises that come true. He can't make a promise that does not come true. We can't follow Jesus if we don't put Him out front and let Him show us the way. There was a hunting trip. I don't remember exactly who told me this, but it was an actual hunting trip that guys at work talk about, and they said a couple of them decided they were going to go out west hire a guide and go hunting. So they did. And these guys always considered themselves fit. You know, they figured themselves, okay, I'm strong. I'm able to do anything. I can follow this guide anywhere. Well, they must have picked the wrong guide, because they started out on this trip and the hills started and the mountains started getting pretty steep. And hours on end, they were climbing. And this guide was out front. And these guys were back here talking, and they said, you know what, we got to do something. This guy's going to run us into the ground, and I don't want to admit that I can't keep up with him. So they said every time they would stop every half hour for a break. They would wait till the guide wasn't looking, and they'd put a rock in his backpack. The next time they would stop, they'd wait till he wasn't looking, they'd put another rock in his backpack. They said this guy was not very pleased when they finally got to the camping area and he emptied his pack, found all these rocks in there. They had to try and slow him down. He was that extra weight, and they said it worked. It slowed him down considerably. We have to be careful that we're not carrying rocks in our backpack. Rocks that we have in there. The sins of the world. The things that are dragging us down and holding us back. Be careful that these are not things that Jesus says, you know, I can help you get away from these things. In our spiritual closet, so many times, as I mentioned, I'll take something with my favorite, then I'll put it back in an edge, and pretty soon everything gets jammed against it, and it's hidden back there, and I don't even know what's back there myself half the time. And then if we come and put Jesus in the closet as well, we don't realize, but we have the problems, our sins, and the things we don't want to deal with. We have them in there, so we have the problems and we have the solution, which is Jesus. He promises, He says His burden is light. We can have that light burden that Jesus gives us. We can make it through exactly the way He has a plan for us. There is a plan for each and every one of us. We have to follow God's way. We have to follow God's will. You know, there is something to be said about salvation. At salvation, when we accept Jesus, we get Jesus. We've accepted Jesus. He's forgiven me of my sins. And I'm now a child of God. But at some point, Jesus needs to get us. We get Him at salvation. At some point, we have to commit ourselves to Christ and say, Lord, I am saved because of Your grace, and now I want to follow You. We can't follow Him unless He has us. We can't follow Him unless He is guiding the way. We can't follow Him if we have Him in the closet or we have Him somewhere else, and we say, yeah, well, Lord, You're okay on Sundays, but I really need to go forward, and I want to go my direction. Too many times I hear people, well, I had somebody ask me one time, Should I tithe off the top line or before taxes or after taxes? That's the way he said it. Should I tithe before taxes or after taxes? And it astounded me. What went through my mind, I don't think I said it. I think I do. How do you want God to bless you? Do you want, whenever it comes time getting into heaven, do you want him to say, well, you did commit some sins here. I don't know if we can let you in. Tithing is what God commands us to do, but yet it's for us. Why? Does it keeps us tied to him. It's something we do that keeps us close to him, that keeps us tied to him, that we can say, I'm relying on Jesus. I'm walking with Jesus. I'm following his footsteps. We have the roadmap right here. He gives us a manual that says how we should do things, how we should live, what we should do. But we have to have him out front. We have to be following him. Be very careful. The world is about me. The world is about me. It's everything about me. Self-satisfaction. It's about getting things that you want. It's about doing it your way. Everything is about me. And we have to be careful we don't get that in our own life, because that's not what Jesus tells us to do. Living like that means that we're in charge. Jesus is the way. You know the scripture, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way. He's not one way of many. I hear that so much. They think there's other ways of getting into heaven. Jesus is the way. He's not one way of many. He is the only way to make it into heaven. And we need to follow him so that when we are getting to the place where we need to get into heaven, and we don't know when that is. You know, I was really shocked, I guess, to hear about that plane crash in Chile. I'd heard about it on the news, and then I found out later on, I think it was Ellen said about it, or my daughter said about it, that there was 10 Nazarene pastors and wives, couples, 10 couples, 20 people, died in that crash. So there was pastors and wives on that plane. I'm thinking, wow, that's... You never know. There's no way of telling when the end is going to be. But if we are following Jesus, that transition is going to be an easy one. If we put Jesus in the closet and save him for a rainy day, or if we save him for an emergency, just like that shirt that I put back in the corner that wouldn't fit anymore, Jesus isn't going to fit our lifestyle when we decide to pull him out. Because our lifestyle is going to be decided by us and not by him. He's not going to fit. The world is not about Jesus. The world is about us. And we need to make sure that he's in charge in our life. We need to get out of the driver's seat and give him full reign in our lives. He's not it for storage. You know, I've never used mothballs, but I've smelled closets that do. I guess they keep the moths out. He's not to be put in mothballs and be hung in the closet. He has to be used in our everyday life. If he's a real part of our life, then he will help us live better. He will carry us in hard times, and he will be going to give us fulfillment instead of emptiness. I wrote this down, as I looked at it, I thought, you know, this statement is really true. Nothing is in vain if we follow Jesus, but everything is in vain if we don't. You might say, well, not everything in vain. I have a lot of things going on. There's a lot of things that are happening that are good in my life, and I don't have Jesus in charge. What I'm talking about is the old statement that says, we come into this life with nothing, we're going out of this life with nothing. The only thing we're going to take in with us is our relationship with Jesus. That's what's going to go out into eternity. If we walk with Jesus now, he'll walk with us in eternity. If we stay with him now and have him out front in our lives, he'll be there in eternity. It's going to be a transition. It's going to be a smooth one with Jesus there, because he's on both sides. He has given us the Holy Spirit now, and He'll be there whenever we go over into eternity. John 3:16 said, God gave us Jesus. Let us give ourselves to Him. There was a lot of fear nots that I wrote down here. It talks about, in Genesis, it talks about the blessings in the journey of life. How God helps us in the blessings in the journey of life. 1 Kings says He's a supplier in famine when Elijah's encounter with the widow and the meal. And the oil never failed. He's protection in peril, strength in weakness, companionship in trial, overshadowing care, life beyond the grave, which is in Revelations 1:18, where Jesus, it talks about Jesus who is alive and in charge of eternity. God has not changed. He has not gotten weak in any way. And He has not forgotten about anybody. He is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we accept Him as our Savior, and as we put Him out front and let the Holy Spirit guide us, fill us, empower us, we will have a closet, spiritual closet that only has good things in it. We'll have a spiritual closet that says, Jesus isn't in there. He's in the middle center of my life. He's in charge of my life. Jesus is making a place for every genuine, true, believing Christian in heaven. No one, there would be no more tears, no more sorrow, just rejoicing. Let Jesus give you what you need today by putting Him in the center, by allowing Him to guide us through His Holy Spirit, and by telling the world, I don't serve you, I serve Jesus. My actions, my words, everything I do point to Jesus. When we can do that, Jesus will be alive in our life, and we can be the best persons that we can ever be, simply because He's in the center of our lives. Let's all stand. Lord, we thank You for this evening, and I pray that, Lord, as we conclude with a song here tonight, that You would help us to realize and understand, Lord, that You need to be number one, first place in our lives. That when we can put You there and we can allow the Spirit, Your Spirit, to fill us and to guide us, we can make the right choices and the right decisions that are going to make us better people as we live on this earth, and also give us that ability to know that eternity is going to be a place with You. Lord, tonight we pray that You speak to our minds and our hearts as we give You this time. And Lord, we ask it in Your holy name. Amen.